Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Kansas City is home to the head coach of the year, according to the 101 Awards. They announced six winners today for their annual awards for the 2024 NFL season, and Andy Reid is coach of the year.
Yay! Yeah,
he is. Yep. He had won it in 2002, 2013, 2015, and now 2024. Game time is 5:30, I believe, on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Can we wish a happy anniversary, please, to Richard and Mary Anderson, who live here in town?
Wait until you hear this story, Scott. It'll make you cry.
It is their 81st wedding anniversary. Richard is 97. Mary is 95.
So they were married January 22nd, 1944. And that year is important when you hear the story of how they came to meet and to be married. Their son, Dick, is out of town right now and wrote to me and said, you know, I just want to let you know it's unusual, but my parents are celebrating 81 years of marriage. And I said, wait, did you just say 81 years of marriage? And Dan and I were talking in the newsroom. I said, my gosh, they must have been 15 or 16 when they got married, yeah. Right? But back during the war, that was not unusual. So here is the story sent to me by their oldest son. In 1942, my mother was 12. My father was 14 when they met at Wellborn Lake in KCK. My mom had been skating alone and said she was not happy about that because she considered it was her lake when these other boys showed up. She lived in that community. Those boys didn't. One of the boys knocked mom down. The other boy, my dad, he writes, skated over to help pick her back up. That was the beginning of 81 years together. From that moment, they began visiting each other's homes, not dating. They talked about marriage, but wanted to wait until mom graduated from eighth grade at Wellborn Elementary. Dad was a sophomore at Wyandotte High School, and as a lot of couples did back then, Scott, they were worried he was going to be sent over and called to the war. They were married at age 16 and 14.
Read the next line.
They boarded the train to Topeka and were married at the Justice of the Peace, and then returned to Kansas City that day, convincing everyone, by the way, they were of age.
They did not tell their
parents.
They
didn't tell anyone. They moved back to each other's mom and dad, like respective mom and dad's homes, Dan.
Wow.
3 or 4 months later, they finally confessed, and mom moved in with my dad in his parents' home. He got his first job, by the way, at age 17 at Southwestern Bell, where he spent 40 years.
Wow.
Married 81 years. That is astonishing.
81 years. I don't know that anyone could match that today.
Well, that would be tough.
It would be anyone back during the World War II era who either lied to get married. I even said to Dan, I go, I wonder if he lied to get into the war. You know, back then there were 16-year-olds that lied to go over and fight. Well, they didn't lie about the war. They just didn't exactly tell everyone they were hopping a train to Topeka to get married.
All three of their children still live. They have seven grandchildren, six great-grandchildren, and four great-great-grandchildren. Five generations.
And they're both closing in on 100 years of age.
He's 97, she's 95. Yep.
They have 3 adult children, 7 grandchildren, 6 great-grandchildren, 4 great-great-grandchildren, 5 generations living, most of them right around town. Happy, happy anniversary.
To Richard and Mary Anderson.
What a
Good
story.
For them.
Congratulations and what a story.
That is a busy Thanksgiving table.
Yes, it is. A lot of gifts at Christmas. Were you the one, and correct me if I'm wrong, that recommended Waco on Netflix?
Yes.
We started it last night. It is incredible.
The docudrama.
Yep.
I don't remember the star who played David Koresh,
okay,
I believe.
Then we've seen something different.
Yeah.
Because we watched a documentary.
The actual documentary.
Yes.
I watched both.
Okay. The Waco documentary on Netflix is incredible.
And yeah. There are crazy people among us, Scott.
They have video, of course, of David Koresh. There are some who survived, and they interview them.
They never charged.
That's correct. They interviewed the FBI, or checked out the ATF agents that were involved in the fight.
They lost a comrade that day.
Mm-hmm. 4.
When are you going to start watching things that I tell you that are incredible in real time when I tell you to watch them?
When I get around to it.
I mean, Waco, American Apocalypse, the documentary
mean, speaking
is
2 years old. 1944,
years old?
I mean, yeah. There are some great documentaries about World War II out there that you should really watch. I told you 10 years ago to watch that documentary.
No,
I go,
it's only been out for two.
I go, it's going to make you so mad because some of those idiots are still alive. Those children burned alive.
Yep.
They were never charged. Oh, and wait for it. They started a new, quote, church. It's a cult.
It is.
In the same area.
There's one woman in this documentary. What's it called? Waco, American Apocalypse?
It should be called Waco, We're Crazy, and should be in prison.
There is one woman that they interview. But by the way, of all the people who survived, none of them condemn...
None of them are sorry.
David Koresh. None of them. Or what he did to those children, or, you know, the taking of wives and all this stuff. And it's absolutely fascinating. But there's one woman in the video. She's a blonde woman. She and her daughter ended up getting out alive, and she is still a devotee. She is still convinced that David Koresh was the second coming of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is...
Crazy. She's crazy.
She belongs in a straitjacket. Yet she walks among us and is at grocery stores with normal people, and she is still devoted to David Koresh.
It's astonishing what people will believe.
It's on Netflix.
And who they will follow.
Speaking of Netflix, they are raising their prices again. According to the latest earnings report, the company announced that they are adjusting prices after reporting its biggest ever subscriber jump. The standard monthly plan without ads is going to increase from $15.49 to $17.99. The ad-supported plan is going to jump from $6.99 to $7.99 per month. And if you get the highest price premium tier, that's going up from $22.99 to $24.99.
Yep.
You know why this is?
Tell me.
They're carrying live sports now. So now people are, I don't want to say forced to watch it, but that's the way that, like, WWE is on there if you're into that. But the NFL games, right? Like the fact that the Chiefs were on there and
they mentioned that in the story.
Exactly.
I want to be clear. I hear from my children often. Had dinner with one of them last night. I speak to them regularly. You know, the fourth one went to K-State, not so much. But, you know, he's 3 hours away. I never hear from them more. And raise your hand and say amen if this is you.
And then when they can't get on Netflix.
Then the moment they cannot get on a streaming service. Bzz, 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 I thought, oh my gosh, does someone need help? Why are my children all reaching out?
Well,
Mom, can you check your email? What's the Hulu password?
You know how you can fix that, right?
Not answer the phone?
No. Have them pay for it.
Well, it's geofenced now, Dan. So I've said to them, look, you can try to log on to my Netflix account that I'm still faithfully paying for every month, but it's going to say, aha, you are not in the same location as your mother.
Unless they are in your immediate family.
No,
it doesn't
Dan,
work that
no,
way
they have blocked. Dan, no, I'm telling you, it's blocked.
You get one location. If it's in your home.
And you have to call it. You have to call, Dan, a primary location. Because one of those little stinkers tried to call their fraternity area as a primary location. And I went, not up in here.
Now what you can,
I had to take it back.
Now, what you can do, if you travel, you can get it on an iPad or maybe the hotel TV, but you have to tell Netflix I'm traveling.
They're on to all the schemes.
Yeah.
All of them.
Now, you can have a TV upstairs and in the kids' bedroom, in the basement, and one in the living room.
Within your IP address.
If you are in, you can have up to six in the house.
Sure, yeah.
But you cannot have, like if Dana's watching Netflix tonight and one of the kids tries to log on.
In Leawood.
It
will say no.
Or are you moving your primary location temporarily, or are you traveling?
Yeah, so talk to your kids, because one of my kids actually did that. Went, a primary location now is...
Then it knocks you off.
...is in Lawrence. And I'm like, what? No, it is not. Anyway, if you're missing your children...
Just have them open up their own accounts.
If you're missing your children, change one of the passwords.
Dana Wright.
It's an immediate phone call.
He's quitting. That's Dan Weinbaum. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. So late yesterday, we ended the show with a story about Facebook Marketplace and two women who have been arrested. The arrest came from a Facebook Marketplace robbery in Lee's Summit. But authorities later found out that these same women allegedly did the same thing in Kansas City, Missouri, I believe Independence, and twice in Overland Park, either that same day or in days that were relatively close. And it started a conversation on the show yesterday about how do you conduct a safe Facebook Marketplace transaction. And a number of police departments, as you well know, have created these like selling spots in their police department parking lot, where you can even go inside into the lobby and do it. Joining us on the KMZ hotline from the Overland Park Police Department is Officer John Lacey. Officer, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? I haven't heard from you in a minute.
Well, I know. We miss talking to you, and I wish it wasn't because people were out there criming, but they are.
Yeah, everyone's been wanting to interview the chief of police and not me. So
well, hey, it's good to have you. And this Facebook thing makes me so mad because I feel like, nice people that are just trying to get rid of stuff and make maybe $100 here or there getting taken advantage of. And we know in Independence the man was seriously hurt, could have been killed. And there are a string of these cases, and they have a couple of things in common. I want you, John, to start with the electronics component.
Yes. What we're seeing is a lot of these people that are robbing, let's just say our residents and people who are doing in these transactions, they're looking for, like, gaming systems, an iPad, things of that sort. So we're asking the public that if you are going to do an exchange, come to the police station. I mean, it's free, and we have it set up here in Overland Park. There's a camera that's on our exchange 24 hours, 7 days a week. And we also advise if you want audio, to come into the station because there's always taping inside the police station. So we have audio and video, so you can do the whole transaction inside and it's safe.
Is there any indication or reasoning behind the ne'er-do-wells wanting electronics?
Well, it is difficult getting a PS5, things of that sort, and it's very, very expensive. So the easy way is to meet someone at a disclosed location and say, hey, I have money, and I'm going to do it with cash, and meet me at this location. And then they get to a location where I have no cameras, very dark lit, things of that sort, and then that's when these incidents are occurring.
And what troubles me, officer, is that like maybe 10 years ago or 5 years ago, there were people getting robbed at home or in dark alleys. We've started noticing in our news stack and the stories that we're sharing with our listeners that it's now happening in the Independence case. It was a CVS parking lot.
Lee's Summit.
Pardon me. There was a woman killed once in a Quick Trip parking lot in broad daylight. Just because there are cameras does not mean it's a safe place necessarily to do a transaction if someone is looking to do you harm. I don't know that there are that many stories where people have been robbed at gunpoint at a police station with this type of thing.
Correct. What we're seeing is that people are saying, okay, meet me at the police department and we can do the transaction at that location. And we're starting to see some of these people saying, no, I don't want to meet there. Well, that's the person that's probably going to do harm to you. Don't go through that transaction at all. So, hey, meet me at the police station. I mean, I would even throw it out there first. Hey, let's meet me at the police station. And there's always a police officer that's around. And the way we have our internet exchange area is where our patrol cars are pretty near. So there are officers going to and from their vehicles. So if they decide they're going to do something a little shady, we're going to have an officer right there in the area.
Officer Lacey, do you recommend, or does the police recommend, that if you're going to do a transaction, a Facebook Marketplace transaction in the police parking lot, that we call ahead or go inside before the transaction, maybe arrive a little bit early, and ask if we can have an officer come outside and just monitor? Or is that too much to ask?
Well, it's not too much to ask. As a matter of fact, if you think the person is a little shady, we want to be out there. But on our exchange, you don't have to sign up. You could just drive up. First come, first serve. So, and they're very distinct. You can see the green little lines on our parking lot, and there's also a sign, and you'll also see the camera. Like I said, that's where you do the internet exchange. But if you want audio, come inside the station and say, okay, just meet me inside the police station. I'm wearing this, and I'll have the PlayStation, I'll have your money, whatever, and then do the exchange inside the station.
How many exchange locations do you have?
In Overland Park, we have two. There's one at the South Station. You know where Costco's located?
Yeah, Foster.
South of there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. 12400 Foster. And the other one's at 8500 Antioch. That's our other police station.
To me, officer, there is no reason if someone on the other end of that transaction
That's
says,
exactly right.
I'm not meeting you at a police station, then that is your red flag. And also, I just feel like the odds of you getting robbed right outside the doors of a police station go way down, where we are starting to see these robberies in well-lit, otherwise what you would think would be a safe place.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it is a major red flag, and it ain't no carnival. So if they're telling you, I'm not going to meet you there at the police station, there's something shady that's going on. You have to understand, you don't have to come into the police station. You can just conduct your business outside. And it's not like that we are looking at every transaction, reading a license tag. We don't have time for that. It's for our residents to use and utilize for a safe transaction.
I would imagine the police do not recommend that you do a Facebook Marketplace transaction at your own home.
Correct. That's the worst you want to do. You do not want to do that because, number one, if the person's there to do bodily harm to you or have ill will intentions, they know where you live. And if you are doing it, do it outside in front of your home. Or, as a matter of fact, I hate to say this, I've done this. I've said, hey, meet me a couple doors down from my residence. So I'm standing in the street doing my transaction. They think I may live at that house. However, I don't live at that house. So, but 9 times out of 10, since we got our internet exchange, I've utilized the internet exchange zone here in Oklahoma.
You probably have cars coming in and out of there all the time. I mean, it's my guess. If people are smart,
yeah,
and they're doing it right, that's where you do it.
Yeah, and at the same time, we also do child custody exchanges here.
Yep.
And I mean, matter of fact, as I'm talking to you right now, there I'm looking out the window, and there's two people that are meeting right now doing a transaction at our internet exchange. So, I mean, it's something that we want the public to utilize. It's very, very safe, and it's free, and you can come at any time.
Officer John Lacey, do appreciate your time. Thank you for it.
All right, guys. You
be
take
well.
Care.
All right, be well.
All right.
Talk soon.
You know, the other thing is, if the person that you're selling your item to has a warrant out for their arrest, I mean, one fell swoop. You get your money, police get their guy.
if you're doing the child swap in the parking lot of a police station, that divorce did not go well.
Did not go well.
No.
It was not amicable.
From the text line, this is why I only sell drugs at the police station parking lot. They never see it coming.
Really? Really?
913-586-7798, 913-586-7798.
I swear they're running out of names for these fires in California.
How do they name them, by the way?
I don't know. We need to look at that.
I mean, the Palisades fire is obvious. It's in Pacific Palisades.
But, you know, like with the hurricanes, you bounce back and forth between a male name and a female name. You start with A, and then you run out, and they go back.
If it's a really bad one like Katrina, that name never comes back.
Right. I don't know. There is a new fire that has exploded north of L.A., forcing multiple evacuations. The fire, known now as the Hughes Fire, has grown to more than 5,000 acres in the last 2 hours.
They name them based on geographical markers in that area, whether it's a mountain or a valley or a piece of property or crossroads.
Not long ago, I recall there being a fire called the Line Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Was there something in the area named Line?
We'll have to look that up, but probably. Let's take a look.
Okay. A story here from the New York Times, and this person writes, I've looked forward to this one all day. I'm a therapist who writes about housekeeping hacks for messy people. And when I post videos about my home, a place where clean laundry is tossed unfolded into baskets and there's a giant trash can on wheels rolling around my kitchen, the comments section explodes with admonitions that I am lazy. My private inbox, however, is different. People often tell me that my embrace of mess is revolutionizing their lives. Quoting here from one inbox message, "Are you saying that I'm not a horrible person and I'm not just making excuses?" The world is harsh toward messy people, this person writes. I get it. Not long ago, I thought the home of a mature, successful woman was a bright and airy haven, a la HGTV's famous interior designer, Joanna Gaines. My home has never looked like hers. For years, it felt as if I failed the aesthetic litmus test for being grown up and put together. But 4 years ago, I accepted something that freed me and brought unexpected joy. I am messy.
She argues that messiness ought to be celebrated. Instead, it's a problem to solve, a bad habit to rectify. We've all done this, Scott, where you apologize if someone walks in that you're not expecting. I'm so sorry for the mess, right?
Yeah. Well, I haven't, but...
She says, I've been preaching my gospel that being messy is not a moral failing for years now, but I want to take it one step further. Messiness can be a good thing. All communities should have messy people. We are not all meant to be Joanna Gaines. The parts of my brain that allow me to produce handmade Renaissance costumes are the same parts responsible for a dining room bursting with fabric scraps and sewing supplies. It is time we admit that what makes us shine cannot be divorced from what makes us scattered.
What do you think?
Well, there are photographs for the purpose of this. I'm just going to warn you.
All right. Now, you know I am a minimalist and a clean freak.
There is crap everywhere.
No, absolutely not.
Now, I, on the other hand, have to have a clean, open main space. But there are times if you open a closet hidden behind things, you could be buried under an avalanche of things that I don't even know what's in there. Okay?
Why?
I don't like to see the clutter, even though I know I have clutter.
Okay.
Okay? So one of the things I love about this is people generally fall into two camps. And if you end up partnering up with somebody in life or a roommate in college where you are on the opposite end, this can fracture relationships, right?
Sure.
She argues, and there is some science behind this, that people like me who have the ADHD brain, Scott, can be messy because our brain's executive functioning center, the area that controls time management, focus shifting, memory, and prioritization, operates differently from a typical brain's. We also have higher levels of thinking and creativity. So
I don't dispute that about you.
With the good comes bad.
We're talking about messy, right?
Messy, not dirty.
Not dirty.
Not filthy. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have cockroaches and rats roaming around, but...
We don't know that.
You know, look at her bed.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
That bed would drive you crazy. There's clothes everywhere.
It hasn't been made in weeks. You can tell.
I have never mated a pair of socks in my life. They get thrown in a drawer. And when I wake up in the morning, I choose two that are white or two that are black. It's the only choices I have. They are never mated.
I kind of do that, but I always grab the same kind of sock. Now, there are some that have been mated in my top drawer, and then there are some that I just throw in there, and I'll get them later.
Dan, it says, to be sure, we messy people need to be considerate of others and provide a safe and sanitary environment for ourselves and our families. Like, this isn't hoarding, okay?
That living room and kitchen looks like hoarding
to me. The good news is, she writes, you can create an enjoyable, functional life as a messy person without becoming a neat one by using other methods that work with your brain and not against it. And that's what I would say when I shove those socks in a drawer. I don't have to make the socks, but I know where they all are.
I won't say who this is, but it is someone who lives in Western. I was in their home last month, and they're not hoarders, but man, they're knocking on the door. And the house was so messy, so cluttered, I started having an anxiety attack.
Like you wanted to fix it.
I wanted to go through that house, throw things away for them, and then I just had to get out.
Listen to this.
And I left.
Some people, she writes, can put something away instead of just putting it down without much conscious effort. I am not that person. When I place something down, it disappears from my memory as if it doesn't exist. But the effort to put away every item I touch throughout the day drains me more than the mess itself. That is why I can't do laundry.
If you put things away, then you forget where you put them.
Thank you,
no,
Dan.
No, you don't.
This is why I don't do laundry. It's constant, and it never ends.
Who does laundry for
and
you?
Put it, my person does the laundry.
Oh, my.
I know. It doesn't bother him to do it. I don't want to say it's anxiety.
I'm not knocking him. Something, I do the laundry in my home.
Something about the balled up mess of the clothing, if I see that and it's in the dryer and it's been sitting there, you know what I do? I shut the door.
I not only
shut the dryer door, I shut the main door that hides the washer and dryer. My brain doesn't like it.
So, no, that's not how it works.
That is exactly how it works.
No, because I do laundry. I do a load of laundry every single day. I actually enjoy
every day.
Every day, yeah.
Wow.
Because T will wear usually two outfits, her work outfit and then her evening outfit. And then I usually wear about two outfits a day. And so, you know, that's four outfits total. And so I'll start the laundry in the morning when I get out of bed. And then I dry it. And then as soon as I hear that dryer go off, or if I leave and go to the gym or whatever, when I get back, I immediately take it out of the dryer, throw it on the bed, and fold it.
I put it in the washer. It stays, and 3 days later, it smells like there's a dead body somewhere in the house, and we can't find it.
We have some very differing psychological profiles.
That's exactly what it is, Dan. It's a psychological profile. I'm telling you. But if I walked into the kitchen and there's crap all over the counter, I don't like that. I like a neat main space.
There are only two things on my island in the kitchen.
I love a good shut door, man.
And usually only one. I have a candle. Okay. And we're currently doing a paint by numbers.
Okay.
And of Stonehenge for Sarah.
I can't wait to see that.
We're almost done. It's great. So that is on the island because, you know, I'll work on it in the morning. T works on it at night. We're almost done.
Do you want to hear something weird about my childhood? I mean, we could spend hours on this. But
well,
Dan,
you did wear strawberry shortcake underpants.
This harkens back way to why I think I have a problem. At the end of a meal, if I was, you know, with my grandma and grandpa, and they used to just think it was so cute and they would think it was funny. If I hadn't finished everything, or even if I hadn't, the fork's on the plate and the plate is in front of me, that looks messy to me. It looks dirty. I would always take my napkin, always, and I do this to this day, I cover it up. I don't want to see the clutter, even with dishes. I don't want to see it.
Doesn't mean that it goes away.
No, but the way my...
Out of sight, out of mind.
It sort of is out of sight, out of mind. The laundry doesn't go away, but when I shut the door, it feels way better to my brain.
So, Scott, you are organized on purpose, and Dana is disorganized on purpose.
Ask Dana. She's been to my house several times.
Yeah, there's a place for everything.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
If you said to me, can you find me blank? I would say, oh, yeah, it's here somewhere. I don't know where, but it's here somewhere.
Oh, my God.
Start I would go tossing insane. Things.
I left the acupuncture appointment today, left my water bottle in the window. So I left the car, went back inside. I said, I'm sorry, I left my water bottle because I set it down out of sight, out of mind. I get all the way into the car.
You shouldn't be driving on
this. Halfway days. To work, I reach down for my eyeglasses. Nope. I have no idea where they are. I left them there. Once it's set down, it might as well have entered the Bermuda Triangle of Dana's brain. It's gone.
Wow.
But she says this is not a disorder. The world needs creative
people.
I'm
not saying it's a disorder. I'm going to say this. And I don't think I've been to your condo. And I've been to your home. I've never thought when I walked in, this Dana's messy. You have more stuff than I would want.
Yeah.
But I've never thought you were messy at all. If I walk into somebody's home, like the home I was in last month, and there's just crap everywhere, I'm going to be honest. I think you're lazy. I think you don't know how to get rid of stuff, and I don't think you know how to clean.
So this therapist, Casey Davis,
is
her name.
You're not invited over.
I know. Casey Davis, by the way, is her name, if you want to read the New York Times article. She says that messiness is often equated to with laziness.
And that's what I think.
And she says that's not true.
Well,
it might be true in some cases.
Yeah,
and not true
it has
in
to be. Because, you know, I'm not going to beleaguer the point, but I was raised in the military. My mom, I dust three times a week.
I've never dusted in my entire life. Never.
Oh, my word.
Ever.
Wow.
I like to dust.
What do you dust?
The end tables or the nightstands in the bedroom, the dressers. I will dust the cabinets in the kitchen.
Tops of any artwork on the walls.
How is dust getting on those things?
Because dust is in every place.
He told me once he dusted a mantle. I go, I can't even reach the mantle. If I can't see it, I'm not going to worry
about
it.
The railing going downstairs, going down all the stairs is made out is wood. I'll dust that because it's got fingerprints on it. But here's the thing. I was raised in the military, and my mom would dust and vacuum religiously.
Yeah, I didn't grow up in that house.
And I'll never forget what my mom said when I was a little kid. I said, Mom, you clean a lot. Why do you clean so much? And she said to me, you never know when the general's wife is coming over.
Well, I can assure you that's not happening in my case.
No, I'm sure it's not.
Listen to this line. I love this line. It doesn't mean, she writes, that I am incapable of making changes or exerting effort, just the opposite. Instead of focusing on always putting things away and keeping my home neat, I make sure that every room in the house has a trash can, a laundry basket, and a, quote, this belongs in another room bin.
Take it to the other room.
When a space becomes too messy to enjoy, instead of ignoring it because it feels overwhelming, I take a few minutes to toss things into their own bin, and I move on.
That bin should be the trash can.
See, I'm both of these.
I think you are too, Dan.
I like order, and I like things in their correct places. But I also don't want to be bothered with putting things away sometimes. So it's kind of like a blend. There might be a pile of coats and jackets on the bed that I'll move to the chair and then move back to the bed when I need the chair.
This is going to be very triggering
for
Scott.
Look at my sock drawer.
Yeah.
It is organized.
No. Cluttered countertops that keep items I use every day at my fingertips. It's more functional for this past pace season of raising little kids than chasing someone else's dream of a minimalist aesthetic.
How about putting them in the drawer below the countertop where you currently have said item? 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. From the text line, absolutely not. That lady is trying to figure out a way to make herself feel better about herself. She is a mess. Anybody who has a trash can in every room is lazy and crazy.
I would say the trash can in every room is
a bit much.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
And somebody else writes, I work 16 hours a day. I am not going home and cleaning the house. I will pick up a little bit here and there.
Amen.
But I will get to it on Saturday, which is my only day off.
When I had teenage boys, they had trash cans in their rooms. That's the only weird room I had trash cans. You know, you have the little waste paper basket in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You have a kitchen trash can. But when the boys were teenage, anyone who's had a teenage boy is just screaming yes, amen right now. You put a trash can in the boys' room.
We have trash cans in the bathrooms.
Uh-huh.
In the laundry room.
Why in the laundry room?
For like
lint.
Yeah. Lint from the dryer or dryer sheets. We use dryer sheets, lavender, okay. Lavender scented.
Of course.
Is there any other scent? Yeah. So yeah, thank you, Q, for lint and dryer sheets.
I have a trash can in my bedroom, but I also have like my desk in there, my computer in there. So, you know, if I'm drinking a soda or an adult Beaver Gauge. Yep. You know, I'm not taking it to the
recycling.
Trash right
no,
away.
Just throw it in the trash. Okay. Who cares about the earth? You know what I found?
I do separate, like, you know, like I don't drink a lot of soda. It's mostly beer cans, but it does go in the recycling. We have a trash can and a recycling bin in the kitchen. So
this is purely anecdotal, but it's my experience with kids when they're now adults, but even when they were kids. The younger generation doesn't seem to care much about recycling.
Mm-mm.
It's our generation, believe it or not, that seems to be zealots about recycling.
I find that to be the other way around. Because for most of my life, I lived in Liberty. We had recycling, trash and recycling bins for most of my life.
I've gotten worse about it as I've gotten older because I read, I hate to say it, I've read what has been reported about
what they do.
Yeah. And so
I know.
You know.
Well, I felt terrible the other day because, you know, I'm like super crazy recycling.
I know.
I recycle the cardboard tubing and toilet paper.
The best thing you can do is reduce. The most important R in the reduce, recycle, reuse is reduce.
But, you know, we've heard all these stories about, well, don't even bother with plastic because they used to ship it to Vietnam. Vietnam stopped accepting our plastic. Now it just ends up in the landfill anyway because there's like one guy at the recycling, whatever that thing is called. And they only go for like newspaper and aluminum because they can make money off of that. I threw away a plastic milk container the other day in the trash and it broke my heart.
Wow.
It broke my heart.
Are you doing okay? How you feeling?
I'm day by day.
Okay. At least our milk comes in jugs and not bags, you know?
So I've started doing Chateau milk because I can take the glass back and get money back for
there
it.
There you go. Okay.
Yep. Quick break for the news. Dan has that coming up in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks. Hey, are you ready to transform your smile and boost your self-confidence? Look no further than Kansas City's best smile makeover doctor, Dr. Ross Headley with KC Smile. Dr. Headley is recognized as one of the very best in his field, dedicated to crafting the perfect smile that's tailored just for you. In fact, Dr. Headley is the only accredited member of the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry in the entire state of Kansas. And with years of experience and a passion for creating stunning smiles, KC Smile employs cutting-edge techniques, state-of-the-art technology to give you the smile that you've always dreamed of. But it's not just about aesthetics. It's about boosting your confidence, transforming your life. Imagine the possibilities when you can confidently share your beautiful smile with the world. Don't let another day go by without the smile that you deserve. Take the first step and schedule your free consultation today. Located in Overland Park, online at kcsmile.com. That's kcsmile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.